You know her face and you definitely know her voice. Kristen Schaal is an Emmy-nominated actress who has starred in some of the most popular and critically acclaimed comedies in recent memory. But where does the character end and the performer begin? I'll find out when she joins me tonight. And later, the term legend gets thrown around a lot these days, but it is tailor-made for Ed Asner. With more than 400 acting credits and seven Emmy Awards, he's the most honored male actor in history. From Mary Tyler Moore's Lou Grant to the movies Elf and Up, he's been entertaining for more than six decades. Now he's got a new book, a live theater show, and more than a dozen upcoming films. Tonight, the one and only Ed Asner on Banfield. She is one of the funniest and most unique comedic performers working today. You've probably seen her on The Last Man on Earth. Maybe you have heard her voice on Bob's Burgers. And your kids, they definitely loved her on Gravity Falls. Her new show is called The Mysterious Benedict Society. It's streaming now on Disney Plus. Kristen Schaal, thank you for joining me. Total fangirl crush for a million different reasons, the latest one being Gravity Falls. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful, Ashley, because I get to meet you. And I'm on the show with Ed Asner. Thank you.
Right?
Wow.
Doesn't get better than that, right? Who are your comedy inspirations? I mean, I looked at Ed Asner way back when I was a kid, but you're younger than me. Who'd you look up to?
Well, you did. I do love Gilda Radner. So just for the audience at home, Ashley told me that I reminded her of Gilda Radner before we started. And I almost started sobbing because that is the hugest compliment you can give a comedian. I loved her. I loved, who else? Carol Burnett. I read her autobiography just to figure out, you know, how do you get from your house in middle America to New York, you know? And she had to go on that journey, too. So I loved The Muppets, too.
Yeah, The Muppets. What a great answer to an inspiration. But, you know, there's something about your voice, clearly. I think Gilda Radner also had the voice. I mean, when she did Rosanna, Dana, and she did Emily and all those other characters, you know, she had that physical essence to her comedy, which I think you do as well. So I haven't seen The Mysterious Benedict Society. I just heard that your character's called Number Two. you must have said, I'll take it when the agent called.
Oh, yeah, that was a no-brainer. I love any character with a good name, and Number Two is one of the best names, I think, in storytelling. Also, it's a mystery as to what her real name is, and I like a character that has a mysterious backstory, too. And she's
It's a little like, remember 99 on Get Smart? There's another, you know, character with just a number whose name we never knew.
Yeah, but it fits. Somehow it fits perfectly. Or Crazy 8, I think, in Quentin Tarantino, in Kill Bill 2?
Yeah.
Crazy 8. Oh, no, it was the Crazy 8s. Sorry. But they were a gang that really destroyed.
True. Okay, so for anybody in the audience who doesn't know about the Mysterious Benedict Society, it's based on a book series, and so I want to play a little clip of the show, and then I'm going to ask you something about it on the other side. Take a look.
And if any child is caught cheating, they will be executed. Excused. Will be excused. This test is going to be long, and it's going to be difficult. Was I not clear about the talking?
Oh, I just groaned.
Well, now you've spoken again. You are excused.
You filmed this in Vancouver, Canada, I think during the pandemic, too. So, and I know I'm from Canada and I haven't seen my family in 2 years. So I must assume that you had some trouble going up and over the border, or maybe because it was work, you didn't. How did it go?
Oh, it was really difficult. They were allowing essential workers to go around August. And I mean, Ashley, to be considered an essential worker, someone who just, like, delivers yuck-yucks, was a high honor, a testament to how crazy these times are. But yeah, it was hard to get over the border. I was able to get my husband and my two-year-old at the time up, you know, because I could not leave them behind, because we also weren't allowed to travel back and forth, obviously, because of the quarantining. There was a two-week quarantine time, and production needed to shoot during those times. So everyone sort of hunkered down for Thanksgiving, Christmas. We were just up there. But I'm really sorry you couldn't see your family. That's hard. It's been hard.
But you know, something tells me that I was looking at those pictures, Kristen, of the film setup in Vancouver. I used to live in Vancouver too, and my guess is, even though you grew up near Boulder, you probably fell in love with Vancouver, right?
Fell in love, Ashley. I mean, in love. The way the Rocky Mountains come up out of the ocean, like, you get to have everything in Vancouver. Not only that, but having a little girl, there was a playground like every two blocks. Like, there's just like littered with playgrounds, nature. It's the most gorgeous city, I would say, in the world. Ashley, why did you leave?
I know, right? For the magic of doing U.S. television. And you know what? I'll give you a little secret, because I know you have, she's 3 years old now, your little girl, Ruby. But they give you a whole year of maternity leave, too. I didn't have it when I came to the U.S. I had my babies here. But and listen, I digress. I do want to ask you a little bit about, we saw a picture of you with Tony Hale, who is co-starring with you on the Mysterious Benedict Society. We just had him on the show as well. And we were asking him about the fan base. Like, it's like a cult fan base with you guys. He has all these fans from his, you know, previous productions that have tattooed his image on their bodies. You know, Gary from Veep, and, you know, from Arrested Development as well. And lo and behold, Kristen, we found fans who did the same thing with your image. Did you know that you're tattooed on a bunch of people?
I know. Well, my characters are. I have yet to see a Kristen Schaal face on a body, and that is fine. I'll just leave it on this one. But yeah, it's the hugest honor. In fact, I remembered early on, someone tattooed like Bob's Burgers on their arms, like what some of the characters, and I was a little bit like, we don't know if this show's going to go on or not. So if you did that after season one, you're going to have to explain it a lot.
I think one of those tattoos, I don't know which one it was, but in that rotation, I think somebody had all of the characters. So like Mabel from Gravity Falls, and Louise from Bob's Burgers, and Sarah Lynn from BoJack Horseman. And of course, these are the characters that you voiced over, but I equate them with you. Like, when I hear your voice on Mabel, I think of you. I enjoy Mabel's images, of course, but it's kind of crazy, right? Like, Tony Hale hadn't even seen some of those tattoos before.
Yeah, that's the first time I've seen some of those, and it's crazy, and it's an honor, and I mean, people love tattoos, though. And they run right out of ideas. I don't want to knock it down, but...
You know what else? People love Tony Hale. I can only imagine that working with him must have been just... Listen, I know you're a comedian. You had to have watched Veep, so you had to have watched Tony, and maybe even Arrested Development, too. But when you met him and you realized you were going to be working with him, were you just, like, on pins and needles?
Yeah, I sort of was like, I guess I kind of felt like I was going to meet, like, a long-lost sibling. You know, it feels like, we said this, too, it's like, it's weird that we haven't worked one-on-one together more, because we have the same sensibilities. But then I said, well, you have to sprinkle the nerdy characters over the projects sparingly. But yeah, he's fun. I mean, and also too, working with a fellow comedian, there's just, it is like a slice of heaven for me to be able to take tit for tat, you know, behind the scenes, and just drop jokes that he can pick up is one of the, it's a huge treasure that doesn't come very often, so.
Yeah, there were times when I was interviewing, I was almost going to call him Buster from Arrested Development, because he really falls into his characters. I feel like you do as well, though. So when you're doing the voiceover work, for a lot of us who've never seen the sausage making, are you in your closet at home, or are you going to a studio that's super fancy where all these musicians have recorded before? Are you with your co-stars? Do you ever get to see them? Like, walk me through it.
Sure. Okay, I'm gonna walk you through Okay, I'll walk you through now. So pandemic life, I am actually in my, in this little box that I made. I put up some lights, but this is a box that I made as a little recording studio that's soundproof.
Cool.
Because when I was trying to record Bob's Burgers in Vancouver, you know, it was tough because there was like lots of noise and I was like hunkered down in a closet, and the Bob's Burgers people were like, can you please buy a something better? And it's actually become quite a little fixture. It's probably like maybe 4x4 at most. And sometimes I can tell you a secret, when this interview is over, I might stay in here a little bit longer. it's like locking yourself in the bathroom, you know? So that's pandemic. But before that, and hopefully soon, we would go into a studio, and they, and in Los Angeles and New York, these studios are, yeah, they're legendary. It's like a lot of the, you know, Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac performed here. And then they'll tell you stories about where the drugs are stashed from the 70s.
Are your co-stars there? Like, do you get to actually act with the co-stars, or do you have to just kind of pretend what's happening with your co-stars?
Right. So the co-stars for Bob's Burgers are usually there. Even if some of them live in New York, we'll have them phone over, and I'll be in LA with usually like the other people who live in Los Angeles. And we love to play off each other and improvise together. So that's the rare animated show that I am with my cast members. Every other show I'm doing usually by myself alone, and it's lonely. I'll do it with the director who will act with me, usually like feed me the line so I can react off of somebody. But that's about how it goes down. And it's fun.
Okay. So the one thing I had to ask you about doing voiceover and you know, comedic shows and animation, you, my dear, got to do, like, you got the holy grail of doing animation, an episode of The Simpsons, but they got your name wrong in the credits, and they made good on it. So first of all, tell me what it was like being on The Simpsons, and then tell me what happened and how they made good on the messing up your name and the spelling in the credits.
Okay, yeah, it was perfect. So The Simpsons, of course, everyone is so thrilled to be on this. The Simpsons has been going on for 30 years. It's basically America.
It certainly is my house, Kristen. I'm not going to lie. It's like, I swear to God, they must have come and taken notes in my family and then written half those episodes.
Oh, there it is. So they got my name wrong and in the credits. And I was watching it with my family. So I was like, ooh, whoops. And it's no big deal. But then they, the next episode, Bart Simpson corrected it on the chalkboard. So it was.
So let me be clear. The black box on the top is how they ended the episode. They spelt your last name S-C-H-A-L-L. And then in the next episode, they're like, sorry, Kristen, we'll have Bart writing out, it's not Kristen S-H-A-L-L. It's Kristen S-H-A-A-L. So you must have been happy about that.
Oh, it's such a, yeah, I hope he gets it wrong again.
When we come back after the break, I have so many more questions for you. I fell in love with you in the show Flight of the Conchords. Not everybody saw that show, but the people who did are like crazy insanely in love with that show because it was one of the funniest things ever made. I'm going to ask you a little bit about doing that show, but then I also want to ask you about some political stuff because comedians are tap dancing on the edge of cancel culture every day, and I want to know what it's like to live that way. So we're back with Kristen Schaal in just a couple minutes. We are back with the uber funny Kristen Schaal, and I can't even begin to list all your accolades, but our audience probably knows your voice, if not your face, from all your amazing stuff on The Daily Show as well. I'll get to that in a moment. But first, I want to just ask you a little bit about what I was saying before the break. Cancel culture is something that's very real for comedians because lots of comedians are getting canceled, and the mob seems to come for you, whether it's right wing or left wing, and there doesn't seem to be much of a safe space. How do you navigate?
Oh, I guess, well, I think comedy is constantly evolving. That's what's so exciting about it. That's why I got into it, is because it's not a stagnant art form. It's an art form that reflects the times. So, you know, I think you got to keep up with it. And if your audience is telling you that this isn't funny to them, then you got to listen and you got to figure out what it is. And isn't that so exciting to find what the new jokes are? You know?
Do you think that you got nimble about that, Kristen, because you worked on literally a nightly comedy news program called The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and you have to react pretty quickly. I know some of the bits were taped, of course, but they're dealing with news every single day. So, by the way, we had Samantha Bee and Larry Wilmore on the shows as well, and they talked a little bit about, you know, trying to navigate that line and figure out what where you cross it, where you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, I don't know, to me the line doesn't seem that blurry. I think the line is just about empathy and kindness. I think everybody sort of has more of a voice and a platform now because of the internet, and they're all sort of expressing that they're there. And if you're calling a shot at them, then think about it. Like, is it funny to everybody? I mean, I don't know. Yes, it gets confusing because comedy is so specific, but I really do feel like the line is coming from a place of not being kind. At least that's what I've observed.
Yeah, it's funny. It really depends on who you ask in the world of comedy, how they feel about it. Some comedians I ask who actually appear very liberal say things like, hey, listen, we're supposed to be poking fun at the world. We're supposed to be reflecting things. So we should never be kowtowing, you know, to a mob, or, you know, we should actually have some fun with our words and make sure that everybody can at least feel comfortable and at least lighten up about all of this. But then others will say, no, you got Jay Leno. It's just like you got to move with the times. Speaking of moving with the times, there are so many people who want to know if there's going to be more episodes of Flight of the Conchords, because it was never canceled. And if our audience watching right now hasn't seen it, do yourself a favor, find it, watch it. Do you think there will be more of those shows? They were brilliant.
They were brilliant. It was, you know, it was what sort of broke me into the world of comedy and opened all the doors. And there you go. Now there's an evergreen sort of form of comedy. So do you want to, like, this is lasting forever because their music is so good. I don't think there will be more. I don't.
Really?
I
don't. Even though it's not officially canceled?
Yeah, you know what? It depends on Jermaine and Brett, the Conchords. Like, they do tour together. Oh, God. Even looking at this old clip, my heart's going pitter patter. They're so cute.
Oh, God. Sorry, that was really Jermaine. Jermaine and Brett.
They do tour. They tour and they have some new songs, and the songs are incredible. Maybe they'll both get really bored and want to do some more, but they're so busy.
Well, does your 3-year-old daughter, by the way, have any idea what you do? Because you're in cartoons. My kids loved Mabel and Gravity Falls. Does your daughter even know you do these things?
She sort of knows. She just turned 3. So they're like, she was sort of aware that I was leaving for work to go, you know, work on the Mysterious Benedict Society. But all she sort of understood was I went to work and came home with red hair because they dyed my hair for the character. So she thinks I go to work and then just get red hair and that's my job. But I a little bit. I am coasting. I'm like, okay, she's kind of a daddy's girl, which, I get it. My husband is the best. But I'm like, when you get into cartoons, you know, are you going to think I'm awesome? Or are you going to be annoyed that your mom's voice, who tells you what to do, is now trying to entertain you? I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, absolutely understand what you're going through, and I can only tell you I've got a 14 and 15 year old, two boys, that think I'm an idiot They think I'm embarrassing, you know. She's so public. You know, you'll never be the superstar that you are to your kids, that your fans think you are. So just be prepared for that if she's only three. Hey, quick question about what you used to do before comedy, because it's always so telling where someone gets their funny bone, whether you're just born with it or whether it's acquired through crazy jobs. I think I read somewhere that you were a character called Peppermint Twist. What was that all about? Was that at like a candy store or something?
It was at F.A.O. Schwartz, the now bankrupt F.A.O. Schwartz in Manhattan. They hired a bunch of out-of-work actors to sort of roam around the toy store dressed up as, you know, a game show host to sell the games in that department, and like a toy soldier, and I was this character they created called Miss Peppermint Twist, who was supposed to shill candy in FAO Sweet Shop. And it was, I'm sorry to say, one of the worst jobs I've ever had.
But you know what? It didn't kill you, so it made you stronger. Okay, so Kristen, we do these little games with our very fun guests sometimes that they pertain just to you. We have a game that we're going to play with you if you're willing after the break. It's called Shawl or Nothing. So it's not going to trip you up on anything, but I think you'll have fun. So when we come back after the break, going to ask you a couple questions about your career, put your thinking cap on, and we'll do Shawl or Nothing in a couple minutes. Comedic genius, Kristen Shawl, back with us now. Okay, Kristen, we've come up with this game called Shawl or Nothing. Basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read like the name of a TV show or a film. Some of them you were in, and some of them we just completely made up. And you have to guess which one you were actually in and which one you made up. And I know you've been in a lot of projects, so we're going to really test your mettle here. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
Okay, first one is a time traveler falls for a modern day New Yorker. Is it Shawl or Nothing?
Shawl. That's Pete Leopold. Yeah.
You did it. Yeah, you played Miss Tree, starring Hugh Jackman, Meg Ryan. That was a big movie. That must have been fun.
That was a big movie. One of the first breaks I got, and I was waiting tables, you know, after it was out. I was like, I can't bring people Arnold Palmer's when they tell me to see me in a movie.
When they tell you what?
Oh, we saw you in that Meg Ryan movie, you know, and you're like, oh, yeah, still hasn't worked out.
I've had that happen to me, waiting tables. I'm like, aren't you the news lady? It happened back in the 80s, actually the 90s, early 90s. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay, the second one is an aging rocker stages a concert to save a local theater, even though his neighbors really want it to be turned into a coffee shop. Is it Shawl or is it Nothing?
That's Nothing.
You're right. We completely made that one up. So good for you. Okay, a girl discovers that she has a talent for making sculptures out of food, and she enters a local contest. Shawl or Nothing?
That's Shawl. You're describing butter.
Yay, you did it. Good one. You played Carol Ann Stevenson. That one was produced, and it also starred, look at her, Jennifer Garner. It must have been great working with her.
Why am I not on the that poster?
Because it's old.
Yeah. Yeah, Jennifer Garner is hands down one of the nicest, kindest people. She will give Tony Hale a run for his kind money.
Oh, and by the way, she has a very funny Instagram. I follow her, and she does all this fun stuff in her kitchen at 5 a.m., so she's worth following. That butter was from 2011, so good for you for remembering. Okay, this next one, a team of robots rushes to save a group of humans trapped in a fire. Shawl or Nothing?
Nothing. Nothing.
Did you freeze or are you thinking? Sorry, go ahead. Say it again.
Nothing.
You don't remember doing Transformers?
I didn't do Transformers.
Are you kidding? Rescue Bots 2016? You played a human named Chickadee who was a con artist, a show aimed at preschoolers. Did we get this one wrong?
Oh, yeah. Maybe. Okay.
Okay, so Banfield, nothing. All right, we'll move on to something we think we probably got right. A pixie.
Well, if I did,
has...
I apologize to the Transformer studio and artists if I did and forgot.
Listen, I forgot what I had for, you know, midday snack, which was only an hour ago. So don't worry about it. A pixie has trouble fitting in because she's allergic to her own pixie dust. Shawl or nothing?
Nothing.
It's nothing. You got it. We made it up. Whole cloth. Okay. And then this last one. A shy nerd is trapped in a controlling marriage and is reunited with a childhood love. Shawl or nothing?
Boy, that's so vague. I'm going to go ahead and say shawl.
You're right. Yeah. 2007. It's going back in time. It's Norbit. You played the event organizer. Eddie Murphy was the star of that one, obviously, and Norbit was extremely funny. So, good one. You got pretty much almost all right, and we came out the complete losers when we thought maybe, well, no, we're going to go and we're going to Google it, because you know what? We both could be wrong. Who knows? Okay, a couple of things I have to get to you. The social media world was electrified knowing you were being on the show. So, Allison C. has this question for you. What is your best and worst experience as a comedian?
Oh, okay. I think, wow, the worst experience might have been when I did a show. It was at a college in upstate New York, and I was doing a show with my comedy partner, Kurt Brownmiller, and we had this bit with a sound cue, and I said, basically I said, and now for the live sex act, and they would play this sexy song and we would come closer and closer together and we would pollinate a flower. It was super dumb, but someone heard the cue and they were like, I'm sorry, did you realize that this was a family show? Like, it was a freshman brings their little brothers and sisters and moms and dads and they all come. I did not know that. I thought it was college kids and they could handle that material. So it was like, oh no, the show's so blue. So that was hard. And I would say my best moment, I think maybe playing Radio City Music Hall. I opened for the Flight of the Conchords. Sometimes I can't believe that happened. I'm like, is that a dream? But it was pretty cool to get to see my name on that marquee.
No kidding. I think that'd be a, you know, again, another holy grail for comedians. By the way, I just was Googling, and there's an IMDb entry about rescue bots, and it says 2011 to 2016, Kristen Schaal as Chickadee. It could be wrong, because the internet, you know the internet, right?
Yeah, I know. It's infinite, and infinitely wrong.
Okay, next question. This is a good one. This is from Henry H. Henry H. wants, this is a great question. As Conan O'Brien's supervillain arch nemesis, what are your thoughts on Conan's show ending?
You know, I've been thinking a lot about it because it's this funny thing with talk show hosts. You know, I worked with Jon Stewart on The Daily Show, and I really liked Jay Leno, too. And it's this thing where you get this job that basically never ends, you know, it's the longest job in showbiz. So it's like, yeah, I mean, I was sad about it, but also I'm like, yeah, why do they have to do this show for their whole lives if they're not totally enjoying every, you know, enjoying it? I don't know if that's why he quit, but I think it's brave and I think it's good to just do something else. But I will miss
sometimes it's family, right? Like, loads of people give up. They go out when they're at the top and they say, I just want to do more with my family. I've got loads of money. I don't need it anymore. Other people say, listen, Jay Leno works on his days off. So everybody's built differently. And maybe he just wanted some downtime. I get it. I totally get it. Okay, quickly. Natalie S. asks, my kids love Gravity Falls. Any chance for new episodes? I'm right there with them. I watch those even when my kids aren't in the room.
I don't think Alex Hirsch, who's the creator and all-time super brain of our generation is going to make more episodes of Gravity Falls. He did tease me a little bit, saying like if he could, he would make a Gravity Falls movie. But that is, again, it's all in his court. And I know that he's got a very exciting animated show that he's building with Netflix that's getting close to coming out. I don't know anything about it except for I'm not on it. It's okay.
Okay, this is a real quick yes or no because I'm running out of time, but I definitely want to know, do people recognize you more for your face or your voice when you're, and I've got about like 20 seconds.
Both.
Well, that was a good quick answer. Hey, Kristen, this has been fun. It's so nice to meet you. I'm one of your biggest fans, which sounds creepy, but I really do love your work, and I hope we get to meet in person.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. And maybe we'll get we'll go to the market, the Grand Market, Grand Island Market. What is it?
Listen, I'd go anywhere with you. If there's a cocktail, okay. It's Granville Island, and it's adorable, Granville and it's Island. Awesome. And so, or we can meet in New York. Hey, Kristen Schaal, your new show, Mysterious Benedict Society, streaming on Disney Plus, and it's great to meet you. Thank you for doing this. And by the way, after the break, TV legend, film legend, more than 60 years in the business, Ed Asner, the one and only Ed Asner. Who doesn't love Ed Asner? He's going to be up next.